is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. I'd like to take a moment and have a real heart-to-heart with you. If you're able right now, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? That's your heartbeat telling you that you're alive. It's the same for a preborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks, it's already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. And that's why we've partnered with Preborn, because we need to help these precious babies. Every day, Preborn's networks of clinics rescue 200 babies from abortion. When a mother with an unplanned pregnancy meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine encounter. That doubles a baby's chances at life. And by 6 weeks, the eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her own thumb. And for just $28, you could be the difference between life or death of a child. All gifts are tax deductible, and I want you to donate. All you have to do is just dial #250. And say the keyword baby. That's #250, keyword baby. You can also donate securely at preborn.com/verdict. That's preborn.com/verdict or #250 and say the keyword baby. When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today. Welcome. It is Verdict with Senator Ted Cruz, Ben Ferguson with you. And Senator, this show is an important one. We are seeing anti-Semitism exploding all over this country, especially over the weekend, specifically on college campuses, putting Jewish students' lives at risk on many college campuses, this over the Jewish holiday that is beginning as well.
Well, that's exactly right. We're right now at the beginning of Passover, and in the last 48 hours, we have seen truly horrific demonstrations of anti-Semitism on college campuses across the country. This has been growing since October 7th. We've seen it all over the country. But the last 48 hours have been really uniquely stomach-turning. We've seen it at Columbia. We've seen it at Yale. And it has reached a new level where we now have Jewish students and Jewish professors actively fearing for their life. We're going to do a deep dive into this and the sickness that has sadly taken over so many of our universities that is threatening the next generation of Americans with a poison from the left.
No doubt about it. And this is a perfect opportunity for me to bring up the importance of us standing with the people in Israel. I want you to partner with me. And if you want to know how to help the people in Israel right now, there's an incredible way to do it with the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. It's been over 6 months since the brutal attack by Hamas on the men and women, the children, the grandchildren, and the elderly. And since then, the attacks on Israel have actually increased, with Iran and its proxies launching an attack of hundreds of drones and missiles. You know about that from just a week ago. Well, that is where the need is right now. The International Fellowship of Christians and Jews are on the ground now addressing all of these urgent needs. And specifically what they're doing right now is they're helping provide security by placing bomb shelters in communities in Israel that need them the most. When the sirens go off in Israel, people have about 15 seconds or less to go to safety. And the IFCJ has helped renovate and install nearly 3,000 bomb shelters to date. As Israel and her people live with the harsh reality of terror every day, Your support will help address emergency security needs such as food and utility equipment for bomb shelters, flat jackets, and other essentials for the people of Israel. We're asking listeners to give $50 or any amount to help provide life-saving aid. These bomb shelters. You can visit supportifcj.org. That's one word. Supportifcj.org. That's supportifcj.org. Senator, I want to talk about how this is almost a organized explosion of anti-Semitism on a second level. We saw this early on, right after the attack on Israel that was 6 months ago. And we even saw some of the heads of universities come before Congress. Some of them had to step down from their leadership roles, but didn't actually lose their jobs, and they still get their major paydays. And now we are seeing this second wave, which is even, I would argue, more grotesque than what we saw at the beginning. And it also seems to be somewhat orchestrated because it is growing, not getting weaker.
Well, that's exactly right, and it seems clear that somebody is paying for this. We don't know who, we don't know where the money is coming from, but it is organized, it is persistent. And to give you a sense of just how bad it has gotten, yesterday, the Orthodox rabbi at Columbia Barnard sent a WhatsApp message to more than 290 Jewish students recommending that they go home until it's safe for them to be on campus again. And I want to read you this. Dear Yavde, what we are witnessing in and around campus is terrible and tragic. The events of the last few days, especially last night, have made it clear that Columbia University's public safety and the NYPD cannot guarantee Jewish students' safety in the face of extreme anti-Semitism and anarchy. It deeply pains me to say that I would strongly recommend you return home as soon as possible, and remain home until the reality in and around campus has dramatically improved. It is not our job as Jews to ensure our own safety on campus. No one should have to endure this level of hatred, let alone at school. If you need assistance, please reach out to me. May we see better days on campus soon, and it's signed by the director of OUJLIC at Columbia Barnard.
These types of notes are something that to me is somewhat unimaginable, and yet here we are. We also witnessed video that went viral over the weekend of students that were actually blocking Jewish students from entering a building on a college campus. That was at Yale. And you witnessed this happening. And my question is to the university, Senator, how are they not suspending students that are involved in these actions?
So every administrator that is turning a blind eye, every administrator that is allowing this to occur should resign in disgrace. The university's basic job is to protect the safety of every student. And these students are being threatened. Look, that is an email from the rabbi at Columbia saying, if you're a Jewish student, you are not safe on campus. You are physically in danger because the school that you are paying hundreds of thousands of dollars to go 4 years to is not willing to protect you because their ideology is so twisted that they will allow people to threaten your lives. That is truly twisted. Look, and by the way, it's not just students. It is also striking that a Columbia professor, Shai Dividai, sent out on Twitter, quote, I just sent this message to the leadership at Columbia University. I'm going to be on campus Monday morning, and I am requesting police escort. Police escort simply for going to my own place of work. And here's the letter he sent. He sent, Dear President Shafik, who's the president of Columbia, Vice President Rosberg, Chief Operating Officer Cass Holloway, General Counsel Rosen, Dean Maglaris. Last I checked, I am still a professor at Columbia University. Therefore, I plan to go tomorrow, Monday morning, and sit peacefully right in the center of the illegal encampment that you have allowed the pro-Hamas mob to establish in the middle of campus. I will be joined with several Jewish and Israeli students, faculty, and staff. Since the events of last night have shown me that you have completely failed to protect the safety of your Jewish and Israeli students, I am requesting approval to have a police escort of at least 10 cops with me. I would ask for escort from the school's public safety, but they have proven themselves useless versus these mobs, and I do not want to put their lives at risk. We will be coming. I am an employee, and they are your students. You have a responsibility to protect our physical safety. Sincerely, Shai Dividai. Like, what the hell? That their own professors do not feel safe on campus because they've allowed hundreds of pro-Hamas protesters to set up tents, to camp in the middle of campus, and to threaten the safety of Jewish students.
And let's talk about the makeup here, and this is where it goes back to the organization aspect of this. Number one, yes, there are certainly in these groups of protesters students. I think we need to make that very clear. But there's also what you would refer to as outside agitators who are involved as well, and this is well organized. That is the part, and you, as you mentioned earlier, we don't know who's funding this yet.
We've got to follow the money.
Yeah, we've got to follow the money, but that goes back to my point. If you're not a student, Senator, and you're there as an agitator, and you're threatening the well-being of students, doesn't that give the university even more grounds to be able to say, you don't go to school here, you're out of here? Like, arrest them, take them away?
So absolutely, yes. And understand, what we are seeing here, this is not free speech. Free speech gives you the right to say what you want. Free speech doesn't give you the right to threaten violence, especially against other students. Nobody has the right to threaten violence against other students. If the Ku Klux Klan showed up on campus, burned a cross, and said, "We are going to beat up or kill African-American students," they would naturally be arrested. You don't get to threaten violence. And it's important to understand, so you get in the sort of woke online world, you get people saying, no, these are not pro-Hamas protesters. These are just people who are standing with the innocent Palestinian people. I want you to listen to some of the chants that were going on at Columbia. Play the audio, Ben.
And for people, by the way, when you hear this, I want you to understand, so some of this is loud, and I'm going to give you a few of the lines so that you can kind of hear this here so you understand what to listen for. We say justice, you say how. Burn Tel Aviv to the ground. Another one that you'll hear them chant is, Hamas, we love you. We support your rockets too. And then another one is, red, black, green, and white, we support Hamas's fight. That's just some of what you're going to hear. Listen carefully. I mean, Senator, you listen to that, and I go back to what they were saying. It is right to rebel. Hamas, give them hell. Free Palestine.
Yeah, let me read through the entire chant that what you heard. The opening line is, Al-Qassam, you make us proud. Take another soldier out. So it's calling on Hamas to murder Israeli soldiers. We say justice, you say how. Burn Tel Aviv to the ground. Next line, Hamas, we love you. We support your rockets too, rockets that are aimed at civilians to murder civilians. Red, black, green, and white, we support Hamas's fight. It is right to rebel. Al-Qassam, give them hell. It is right to rebel. Hamas, give them hell. Free Palestine. These are open jihadists. They are cheering on Hamas murdering Jews. This is not simply having a political discussion about the state of the Gaza Strip or the West Bank. This is advocating in support of terrorists who are murdering civilians, and they are doing this on Columbia's campus and doing it directly to threaten Jewish students on campus.
So when you look at the universities now, I also think this brings up a bigger conversation. And there was one of my friends that went to Columbia, for example, and said that they were never could have imagined that this would be their campus where they graduated from, that they would be this ashamed of being an alumnus watching this take place on their college campuses. We've seen a lot of others saying that. I think this is a moment of reckoning, and I mean it sincerely when I say this, where parents have got to start looking at where they're sending their kids and what their kids are being indoctrinated with when they go to these schools. It used to be simple. You go to the best school you could get into. That was the logic. And then it was, if you got into an Ivy League school, you should, you know, celebrate and run to that school. What we're now witnessing in the indoctrination of anti-Semitism on these college campuses, is this not a moment where people should really take a deep, hard look at, do you want to give your kids' minds over to these people?
Look, sadly, it's something a lot of parents are considering. A lot of parents are wondering, why exactly do I spend $500,000 to send my children to an institution to brainwash them to hate America and hate their mother and father? Look, there was another image that was sent around, and this is again on Columbia, where some Jewish students were holding Israeli and American flags. And in front of them stood a young woman. She is covering up her face in what looks like a Palestinian headscarf. Although she's a blonde woman, by appearances, she certainly does not appear Palestinian. She appears like a blonde young liberal. And her sign is handwritten on cardboard, and it says, Al-Qassam's next targets. And it has an arrow pointing to the Jews behind her waving Israeli flags and American flags. Now understand, she is deliberately threatening other students with murder, saying they should be murdered by terrorists. And I'll tell you, I put out on Twitter yesterday, I said, if this is a student, she should be expelled. If this is a Columbia professor, she should be fired. No university should allow one member of the community to advocate the murder of other members of the community. Now understand, this is not free speech anymore. Go back to the Klan example. You would not allow a student to say the Klan should lynch these African-American students. That would be grotesque, and you would expel that student because you don't get to threaten or harass or advocate the murder of your fellow students. There are obligations every student has. You can argue peacefully and civilly, but you do not get to threaten violence. And when you are standing there saying, murder these students, that is exactly what you are doing.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'd like to take a moment and have a real heart-to-heart with you. If you're able right now, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? That's your heartbeat telling you that you're alive. It's the same for a preborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks, it's already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. And that's why we've partnered with Preborn, because we need to help these precious babies. Every day, Preborn's networks of clinics rescue 200 babies from abortion. When a mother with an unplanned pregnancy meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine encounter. That doubles a baby's chances at life. And by 6 weeks, the eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her own thumb. And for just $28, you could be the difference between life or death of a child. All gifts are tax deductible, and I want you to donate. All you have to do is just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, keyword baby. You can also donate securely at preborn.com/verdict. That's preborn.com/verdict or #250 and say the keyword baby.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
What comes next, I think, from and I'm a government response. You know, it's amazing how easily we can put people on watch lists if you're a parent that goes to a school board meeting. But these are people that are calling for terrorism, calling for murder, calling for death. They're right there. They've got their signs. Is there a responsibility of the government, law enforcement, to look into these and take these threats seriously?
Look, absolutely, yes. But it starts with the university administration. They are so terrified of the politics of this that they're paralyzed, that they refuse to do anything about it. So John Podhoretz sent this out on Twitter. He said, "I just got this from a Columbia chat." And this is someone who said, quote, "My husband just picked up our freshman daughter at school. He double parked and barged through the gate to get her on College Walk and escorted her out through a gauntlet of nasty protesters. She tried to put up with being on campus, quote, staying strong and, quote, holding her ground. But the noise and viciousness finally got to her, and she couldn't sleep or concentrate anymore. My husband and daughter felt like refugees fleeing a war zone. And to top it all off, at the 116th and Amsterdam gate, they yelled to my husband to, quote, go back to Poland. This is vicious. This is racist. This is nakedly anti-Semitic. And this is the poison being taught at our universities right now."
Yeah, it's World War II rhetoric if you want to get right down to it.
That is exactly right. By the way, at Yale, they blocked Jewish students from going into campus, and one Yale student, a girl, was stabbed in the eye with a Palestinian flag and was hospitalized for it. So this was not just threats of violence. It was actual violence that is unfolding, and you have to ask, all right, what is Columbia doing? What is Yale doing to ensure that students are safe?
Yeah, and the question is, what are they going to do when it comes to the next round of students that are going to come through? Is it basically, hey, if you're Jewish, you can come here, but we're not going to keep you safe, we're not going to protect you? Because that looks to seem like that is the policies of these universities so far, the same universities that demand tolerance and safe spaces. I remember just back a few years ago, Senator, when everybody was obsessed with having, quote, safe spaces. What happened to that on college campuses?
Well, it is safe spaces only for leftists, and it in the look, we've talked about this a lot, because listen, there are a lot of people who are politically left of center who are looking at what's happening at campuses and they're horrified. That they're just saying, I don't understand. I don't understand where this anti-Semitism is coming from. And we've talked a lot on this podcast about it. the origins is cultural Marxism. And cultural Marxism has taken over our college campuses. It has become the dominant ideology. And the Marxist worldview divides the world into victims and oppressors. And they have defined Jews, and let's be clear, I'm not saying Israelis, I am saying Jews. If you're an American Jew, they have defined you as an oppressor. And they have defined Palestinians as victims. Let's be clear, the people chanting anti-Semitic chants are not limiting it to people who live in Israel. They are directing it at American Jews, and it is the poison that is being taught to our students, that is being echoed by professors, that is being echoed by administrators. And it's why administrators are paralyzed to do anything about it, because they see the pro-Hamas protesters and in their hierarchy of values, because they are protesting for Palestinians, they are more right, they are more just than the Jews who are coded as oppressors. And it is wrong, it is a lie, it is vicious, it is racist, and it is the ideology that we have allowed to take over our campuses. And as far as I'm concerned, any college president, we've seen the president of Penn and the president of Harvard resign, but any college president who does not act to protect students, who does not stand up and say, every student on my campus shall be safe. And by the way, if you had a bunch of Jewish students threatening violence against Palestinian students, I'd say the same thing. But let's be clear, that's not happening. This is not, you know, I will say online that there is a sort of whataboutism. There is a sort of both sidesism. Well, you know, both sides are doing this. No, that's not right. There are no pro-Israel protesters on college campuses who are threatening Palestinians. It is one-sided only. And so, for example, you know, I spent much of Sunday afternoon tweeting and pushing out these videos, because you really need to see them. And one kind of very outspoken person on the left came back and said, well, this is the problem with people like Cruz. The issue is framed, but it's not, it is not just the left, because what I tweeted was, wow, truly stunning. Read what the Orthodox rabbi at Columbia Barnard wrote to Jewish students: return home as soon as possible. Columbia, New York City cannot, will not protect your safety. Radical leftist anti-Semitism is a sickness that is destroying our universities. And this person pushed back and said, no, it's not leftist. And my response was to say, it is not honest to both sides this. All of the students attacking Jews right now on college campuses are leftists. So are all of the professors. This is the poison fruit of Marxist ideology, where universities teach that Jews are oppressors and Palestinians are victims. And it is direct, it is ideological, and that is the poison that now has become commonplace at universities.
Yeah, great point. In 2024, many of you listening may have made the decision that I made, and that is, I'm going to not give my money willfully every day to hardcore leftist causes, organizations, and companies that fight against my values. There are a lot of woke coffee companies out there. When I said that, you probably had a name or two instantly jump into your head. Now, look, I love a good cup of coffee. Every morning, I get on the radio at 7 a.m. I've got to be awake. I got to go through the biggest news of the day and what happened overnight, and I'm not going to compromise. Now, I also am not going to buy a woke cup of coffee any longer, and that is why I want you to know about Blackout Coffee. This is not an average cup of coffee. This is an amazing premium cup of coffee, and I start my day with it every single day, and I'm not going back. It's America First cup of coffee, and it is coffee that is 100% USA, 0% woke. Blackout Coffee is committed to conservative values, from sourcing the beans to the roasting process, customer support, and shipping. They embody true American values, and they accept no compromise on the quality, the taste, and that's what you're going to love the most. Now, I want you to try Blackout Coffee, because if you do, You're going to love it, and you're going to stay with it because it's just so good. I'm going to save you money. Go to blackoutcoffee.com/verdict. That's blackoutcoffee.com/verdict. Use the coupon code VERDICT for 20% off your first order. All right? Use promo code VERDICT for 20% off your first order. Now, one other thing, check out their instant coffee. It is insanely good. I travel with it now. I do a lot of shows in hotel rooms. Don't have time to run downstairs to get every cup of coffee. It is amazing. Check that out as well. You'll save 20% off your first order. blackoutcoffee.com/verdict. Use coupon code VERDICT for 20% off your first order. Senator, we hear from the President of the United States of America a lot on certain issues, moral issues. We see the President come out and he has no problem jumping in if it's on something like Black Lives Matter. But what we're not seeing is the White House condemn these actions in a real way. White House press secretary was asked about some protesters this week chanting "Long live Hamas," and this was the question the White House press secretary, and listen to her answer.
And just to follow up on the protests, I get you don't want to go into specifics, but what does the president think about young people in America saying things like "We are all Hamas" and "Long live Hamas"?
Okay, I will say, look, this is a president that has been, since he's been in office, and the reason why he ran has been very clear about what he witnessed in Charlottesville. Let's not forget what we saw, the anti-Semitism, the bigotry, the hate that we saw in the street of Charlottesville, which, as I just stated, was one of the reasons that he decided to run. And no president has taken more action to combat anti-Semitism than this president. And so, in our national strategy, we made clear that when Jews are targeted because of their beliefs, because of their identity, or when Israel is singled out because of anti-Jewish hatred, that is anti-Semitism. And that is completely, completely unacceptable.
So there's your generic, right? Well, you know, we got a lot going on here, and you know, Biden ran, and we're going to go back to this other issue. How hard is it for the White House to come out, and specifically the president, to come out and condemn this?
Well, and I will say, late Sunday afternoon, the White House finally put out a statement condemning the anti-Semitism at Columbia because it had gotten so bad. But I'll tell you, you and I are recording this right now. It is 12:24 a.m. late Sunday night, beginning of Monday morning. And I just right now, as we're recording this, I looked at Joe Biden's Twitter account.
Bingo.
In the past 24 hours, and this is as of 12:24 a.m., Joe Biden has tweeted about legalizing marijuana, and he sent multiple tweets calling for legalizing marijuana and pardoning everyone who's convicted of possession of marijuana, and multiple tweets attacking Donald Trump. He has not said one single word about the anti-Semitism we're seeing at Columbia and Yale on his Twitter account. They put out an official White House statement that gets a little bit of attention, but on Twitter, complete silence. And there's a reason. I asked the question, why not?
Well, and you know this, that's the check the box
yes.
Diplomacy on this. They are not sending the president out, and forget sending him. There's certain moments when you're a leader that you just know your voice should be heard on an issue. This is that moment where the president should come out. There shouldn't even need to be a meeting about this and condemn it. And this is where they're trying to have it both ways.
Well, and that's because these angry leftists are their base right now, and they're terrified of angering their base. It is the sad reality of where we are right now.
This also comes down to, and we're seeing even more and more data, younger voters, which Joe Biden desperately needs, those 35 and under. He's at risk of them not showing up.
Yep.
The ones that voted for him last time, if they don't show up this time, can cost them the election. We've seen a lot of pandering. We've seen yet another round of, hey, I'm going to pay off your student loans, and I don't care how many millions or billions it costs. We're going to buy votes that way. We also see him coming out and not making the big statements defending Israel because the young people have been indoctrinated. And this goes back to what we're witnessing on college campuses. They've been indoctrinated to hate Israel. And so that's why I think we've seen the president not say anything in a real way publicly. In fact, he's talked about what they've leaked from the White House. Let's talk about the leaks over the last 2 weeks. They claim that the first lady told Joe Biden to stop it now, referring to Israel's attacks on the terrorists. And that was leaked by senior staff. Obviously, there's real leaks that are shocking, and then there's leaks that you do on purpose to get a news cycle. That was clearly a purposeful leak. And then we also had it coming out of the White House that apparently the president, in essence, told Israel, hey, your Iron Dome worked. Take the win, right? Don't retaliate against against the people attacking you. Just be excited that you got the win. If that's the messaging from the White House when it comes to actual war, then it's very clear this is all orchestrated as well.
Yeah, understand, it's not just Israel that the angry left hates. I want you to play a video of what happened at Yale this weekend, and it's going to be hard to tell from the audio, but after you listen to the audio, I'm going to explain what you just listened to. But play that audio, Ben.
Viva, viva Palestina!
Senator, I wish people could see that video, because if you witness it, it's up on your Twitter right now. It will make you enraged at what they're cheering.
Yeah, you really need to see this video. So this occurred on the Yale campus, and they're chanting Viva Viva Palestina. But what they're doing is they're pulling down the American flag from a flagpole. And by the way, the image of the students, strikingly, the Yale students that are there, if any of them are Palestinian, they don't appear to be. And there is in the foreground of the image, there is this young blonde kid who appears to be just your typical woke leftist American, although he's got short blonde hair and he's wearing a Palestinian scarf. And as the American flag goes down, he thrusts his fist in the air, and the cheering you hear is when the flag goes all the way down and hits the ground. These are Yale students cheering the American flag being torn down. Play the audio again and understand the cheering is when the American flag hits the ground. Play the audio again, Ben.
Viva, viva Palestina!
You also see people that are smiling and, in essence, laughing, Senator, like they can't believe this is happening on their campus.
Yes.
And enjoying the moment. They've been camping out there. But this is at Yale. And if you see this at Yale and you realize Yale is allowing this to happen, the question is, why on earth would you send your kid to Yale and go $500,000 or more into debt, or have to pay that money for your kids to be indoctrinated at a place that is clearly not coming down hard on these actions?
Now, look, that is exactly right. And it's because the Yale administrators are terrified to engage with against the left, because they support the views of the left. I'll tell you something else that was tweeted. There's a story in the Free Beacon. The dean of students of Northwestern attended a protest targeting the campus Jewish Community Center. So the dean of students went to a rally where protesters said the school, quote, weaponizes anti-Semitism to silence pro-Palestinian activism. And let me read you that article. The dean of students at Northwestern University attended an anti-Israel protest this week targeting Hillel, the school's Jewish Student Community Center, to defend the demonstrators' quote, right to free speech. Dean of students Mona Dugo said she showed up at the rally on Monday to support anti-Israel's activist, quote, right to protest, and to protect the right to free speech, according to the Daily Northwestern. Protest organizers demanded that the university end its relationship with Hillel, a 100-year-old nonprofit group that operates Jewish community centers on campuses around the world, including Northwestern. The protest took place during Northwestern's Admitted Students Day, which seeks to introduce incoming students to campus life. So imagine you're a Jewish student coming, going, oh, great, this is a welcoming place for me. Quote, Hillel is one of the many places in which this university is complicit in infusing Jewishness with Zionism, said one protest organizer in a speech at the rally. A leaflet handed out by protesters accused Northwestern of, quote, funneling Jewish students into Hillel, the Zionist foundation for Jewish life. It also claimed the school, quote, weaponizes claims of anti-Semitism on campus to silence pro-Palestinian activism. This is the dean of students. Now, I will say, after this became public, Northwestern, at least to their credit, they put out a statement claiming the dean of students goes to every protest to make sure there's not violence. Maybe. It sure doesn't sound like that from the article that was printed in the campus paper. But I'm at least glad they're feeling the need to try to explain it. I suppose that is marginally better than saying, yep, that's where we stand.
It's American college campuses, and it's all coming and being organized, as you mentioned earlier, by the left. And if you look at this, you go back to what you said at the beginning about how important it is to follow the money. Why is it that when it comes to these issues, and I'm going to answer my own question here, but it's like the media doesn't exist when it comes to investigative reporting. I would assume the media could figure it out pretty darn quickly, Senator, who's paying for this, who's organizing it, who's behind it, where the money is originating from. Not a single story is being written about it, though.
No, because they don't care, because the media is ultimately supportive of these goals. They're not covering it. By the way, I will give some credit, and this is something painful for me to do, but I'm going to give a little bit of credit to CNN. You know who's been most vocal speaking out on this?
CNN has had a lot of coverage. You're correct, especially this past weekend.
And Jake Tapper in particular. And listen, I've been very critical of Jake. You and I both know Jake very well. But on this issue, Jake Tapper has been the single most outspoken major media figure. And I'm going to give him credit for that because his colleagues and his colleagues at other networks and newspapers should do the same.
Yeah, they should. Let me tell you about Patriot Mobile. If you have a cell phone, and about 99% of you do, how would you like to know that every time you use your phone and every time you pay your bill, you're actually standing up for the values you believe in a very real way? Patriot Mobile, for more than a decade, has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, I mean it. They're the only one. Patriot Mobile is a company that actually got started to combat the left. That's pretty amazing when you say, hey, why'd you start a company? Well, we realized where the money was going when you paid Big Mobile. It was going to hardcore leftist causes, candidates, organizations, and including Planned Parenthood. When they found out how much money was going to those causes, that is when Patriot Mobile said, we're going to start a conservative cell phone company. Now, Patriot Mobile offers you dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks. So the same towers that you use right now are the same exact towers you're going to use when you switch to Patriot Mobile. But the best part is, when you make that switch, you're no longer funding the left. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, they take about 5% of your bill every month at no extra charge to you. And they give it back to organizations that support free speech, religious freedom, support the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, and they also support our military, our wounded warriors, our veterans, and first responders. It is easy to switch, whether it's you and your family's lines or a business, small or large. You can keep your same phone number you have now, keep your same phone, or upgrade to a new one. But every month when you pay your bill, you're standing up for what you believe in. So get rid of woke mobile and switch to Patriot Mobile. The number, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use the offer code VERDICT, 972-PATRIOT, or patriotmobile.com/verdict. That's patriotmobile.com/verdict. Senator, last question for you on this one. If we do find out that these organizations that are backing and clearly growing these anti-Semitic protests are directly connected to Democratic donors, Democratic Party, what are the chances that the media covers it? Or what do you bet we're the only ones people hear about it from?
Zero. The media won't cover that. They have no interest in it whatsoever. They have no interest in who's promoting this, who's funding it, who's paying people. Listen, Ben, as you know, I have had anti-Israel, pro-Hamas protesters at my home every Saturday morning for over 3 months now. It's the same group of about 15 people. They're clearly being paid by somebody. Nobody cares who's paying them. Somebody is paying them to, and they're doing this at the homes of other people as well, other elected officials as well. This is a concerted effort. But do you know where this ends up?
Where's that?
If you want to see where this ends up, take a look at Europe. Sadly, Europe has, for a long time, for centuries, been on the cutting edge of anti-Semitism. And you can look to Europe to see perhaps the next step of where these college campuses are. This weekend, the London police threatened to arrest a man for being, quote, openly Jewish. And I want to read from a post that Jonathan Turley put up this weekend. Quote, the London police are under fire this week for threatening to arrest a man wearing a kippah near a pro-Palestinian march. Officers inform Gideon Falter, head of the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism Watchdog, that he was, quote, antagonizing the protesters by being, quote, openly Jewish near such a march. He was told that if he tried to cross the street while being, quote, openly Jewish, he would be arrested for breach of the peace. In the video, one police officer said, quote, you are quite openly Jewish. This is a pro-Palestinian march. I'm not accusing you of anything, but I'm worried about the reaction to your presence. Another officer then adds later, quote, you will be escorted out of this area so you can go about your business, go where you want freely, or if you choose to remain here, because you are causing a breach of peace with all these other people, you will be arrested. Now, I want you to pause and reflect on that. In London, it is now an arrestable offense, according to police, to be openly Jewish, to wear a yarmulke. You're the one, if you are simply Jewish and acknowledge your Jewish heritage and don't hide it, that is grounds for being arrested in London. That's where this heads. That is the fruit of the cultural Marxist leftist ideology. That is the fruit of the anti-Semitism infusing our universities.
It's a reminder to pray for the Jewish people now more than ever before, and the students on these college campuses to keep them and the professors safe. Don't forget, the Senator and I do this podcast 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. There are a lot of big votes coming up in D.C. this week. We're going to cover all that for you on Wednesday. And make sure in those in-between days you grab my podcast, the Ben Ferguson Podcast. I'll keep you up to date on the latest breaking news. And the Senator and I will see you back here on Wednesday morning. Hollywood is under siege from an external force. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream is now making nightmares a reality. Many major films make choices to appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter in Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP exerts control over some major studios. Don't miss the most important documentary about Hollywood yet. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free at HollywoodTakeover.com/Ben. HollywoodTakeover.com/Ben. When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.